VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us for a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. Our thanks to Sandy for compiling so many stories here today. Stories that are going to take us across this world, around the world here, with many different topics, many different issues, matters that you need to be informed about and certainly to understand. We're living in a time in which evil is called good and good is called evil. And certainly it is behooves us to take a stand for that which is true, that which is right, that which is pure, that which is good, and to let our light shine in such a time as this. Part of the problem is we've cowered for so long here in our nation, and it is time for us to stand up and really say, "Thus saith the Lord." And instead we cower and we say, "Yea, hath God said." I mean, we question rather than stand up. And so it's important for us to know what is taking place, to know how to take a stand, to be praying for those that are in leadership over us, and certainly to do all of that in such a time as this. It's no mistake. God has you where you are for today, in the place where you work, in the neighborhood where you live, to come in contact with the people you come in contact with. And you can certainly take that opportunity, that sphere of influence that you have, to let your light shine for the Lord Jesus. So we've got Dennis in the control room and Cheryl on the phones here today, and looking forward to our time together here on Crosstalk. We're going to begin with matters going on with Disney. And from townhall.com, as a showdown between the Walt Disney Company and Florida Republicans comes to a head with the passage of a bill to strip Walt Disney World of its special district status, Bob Chapek's tumultuous tenure as CEO of Disney has come into glaring focus. Facing criticism from all sides, he appears to be on thin ice with growing calls for the embattled leader to step aside in order to let Disney right its ship. As the New York Post reported on Wednesday, as the Florida Senate passed the bill to strip Disney's Florida resort of its autonomy, there are growing calls for Chapek to go. He at first stayed silent on the legislation, the parental rights legislation that's made its way through the House and Senate, but then caved to pressure from Disney employees and from activist LGBT groups, and took a stand against the parental rights legislation. His flip-flop has drawn heat from critics on both the left and the right. The Post report noted a letter from Pixar employees slammed Disney's hollow claims of support, while some corporate workers staged a walkout, among other dust-ups. Now, keep in mind that the Disney executive was protesting and speaking out against legislation that protected parental rights. Can you believe this? An organization that's to cater to the family is protesting legislation that protects parental rights. It's also a bill that did not allow the indoctrination of children, yes, the indoctrination of children in pre-K through the third grade in sexuality studies. Why is Disney promoting such and fighting against this pro-family piece of legislation? Well, from CBN News, both houses of the Florida legislature have now voted to eliminate Disney World's special privileges that had essentially established the Walt Disney Company as its own private government. Ron DeSantis there, the governor, asked the state legislature to repeal a law that had given them decades of benefits, allowing it to have full control over its properties in the state. Well, Thursday, the House of Representatives voted to overturn that law. The Senate had voted Wednesday to do the same, to eliminate a special tax district that allowed Walt Disney Company to govern the land with its theme parks where they sit. Disney and other woke corporations won't get away with peddling their unchecked pressure campaigns any longer, DeSantis said Wednesday. If we want to keep the Democrat machine and their corporate lapdogs accountable, we have to stand together now. A Western Journal reports a new poll shows that the once-beloved Walt Disney Company is quickly losing the trust of Americans amid the company's continuing efforts to push the left's radical agenda. The Trafalgar Group survey, conducted April 4th through the 7th, found that nearly 70% of likely voters said that they are less likely to do business with Disney in the wake of reports about the company promoting queerness in its content for children. That's right. In late March, journalist Christopher Ruffo obtained several clips from Disney's recent Reimagine Tomorrow meeting. We've shared that before here on Crosstalk. In one video, LaToya Ravenow, identified as executive producer for Disney Television Animation, says her team has implemented a not-at-all-secret gay agenda and is regularly adding queerness to children's programming. Most Americans disapprove of that approach, according to the new poll. The survey said news reports reveal Disney is focusing on creating content to expose young children to sexual ideas. Does this make you more or less likely to do business with Disney? And an overwhelming majority said less likely to do business. That survey was 1,079 likely voters, had a margin of error of plus or minus 2.99% at the 95% confidence level. Not good news for Disney at all. And a number of people saying we are not going to patronize Disney. MRC Newsbusters reporting that the stock value of the Walt Disney Company took an icy dive after parents and conservative leaders exposed the company for feeding woke values to children. CNBC reporter Carl Quintanilla broke the news on Twitter April 20th, saying Disney is now the worst performing Dow stock over the past year, down 31.5%. Manhattan Institute senior fellow Christopher Ruffo concluded that Disney was actually suffering from a self-inflicted blow. Disney has lost more than $20 billion in shareholder value after the release of videos exposing the company's woke agenda. I'd like to hear your comments on that later when we open up phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Let's get to another issue from Breitbart. Immigration, Customs and Enforcement is expected to release more than a half million illegal aliens into the interior of the U.S. over the next 6 months. Deanne Daugherty's, ICE's juvenile coordinator, who has many minor illegal aliens, are expected, wrote in a court filing that the development would represent a historic border surge. Given these forecasts and the recently announced decision to end Title 42 next month, ICE must shift its focus and prepare to manage its resources for a population up to 600,000 by the end of the fiscal year. Washington Times reporting more than two dozen GOP governors have signed up to push back against the Biden administration's border chaos, forming the American Governors Border Strike Force to share intelligence on threats to their communities that come across the U.S.-Mexico border. The governors pledged to track and share analysis of state-level crimes connected to border security and to try and target the financing and mobility of cartels that smuggle people and drugs across the border and deep into America's heartland. In addition to Arizona and Texas, the governors and the strike force are from Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Maryland, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, New Hampshire, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Utah, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. The Epic Times is telling us that Illinois has started providing free health care to more illegal immigrants. Governor J.B. Pritzker's office announced on April 15th, illegal aliens 55 to 64 in Illinois are now covered by the state. They can access services like doctor visits and dental care, laboratory tests for free. Illinois started covering health care for many illegal immigrants 65 or older in December of 2020, but the new expanded program that's going to come about here on July 1st is going to happen after the Illinois House passed the legislation. On that date, illegal immigrants who meet the conditions age 42 to 54 can obtain free health care. FoxNews.com reporting President Biden on Thursday announced another $800 million in military aid for Ukraine, including heavy artillery and ammunition, as the country continues to fight to defend itself against this multi-front war. Biden spoke from the East Room, said the assistance would include heavy artillery weapons, dozens of howitzers, and 144,000 rounds of ammunition for those howitzers and tactical drones as well. And he's authorized just a week ago another $800 million in weapons, ammunition, and other security assistance, and indicates he's going back to Congress next week for more. A headline on WND.com indicates that Russia has launched a diabolical new Satan missile. Yes, President Vladimir Putin says the newest addition of a 16,000-mile-per-hour vehicle capable of carrying up to 12 to 15 nuclear warheads has been test-fired. It's the Satan II. He said it's a warning to anyone who threatens Russia and should give food for thought to the nation's opponents. The Sun reported the weapon can fly 11,000 miles, carry 15 warheads, and could destroy a nation, a region that is the size of France. Most worryingly, the separate warheads in the Satan II missile are capable of detaching from the main 100-ton missiles before traveling toward their target at hypersonic speeds. The report explained that Russian officials believe the missile could destroy the UK or hit any target on Earth. Let's go to another topic here. In multiple interviews, Dr. Anthony Fauci has weighed in on the Monday ruling from the U.S. District Judge Catherine Kimball Mizell, which struck down the travel mask mandate. President Joe Biden's Department of Justice has decided to appeal the ruling. The Centers for Disease Control has also told the DOJ to reinstate the mandate. Well, speaking with CBS News, Robert Costa, Dr. Fauci lamented that a judge would dare to rule on the mask mandate as it applied to the CDC, overstepping its authority. Let's listen in to hear what Dr. Fauci had to say.
Does the CDC, with all respect, have any power anymore if one judge can say no thanks to its mandates?
Well, that's what we're worried about, Bob. We're worried about a precedent that would be a dangerous precedent. The CDC has the capability, through a large number of trained epidemiologists and scientists, to be able to make projections and make recommendations, far more than a judge with no experience in public health.
I find it interesting how he would calls this a dangerous precedent. Folks, it is the constitutional rule of law that we've got to follow here, not who's got greater health care knowledge or who can make decisions on this. Do they have the authority to do this? And they're not addressing that issue. He called that a dangerous precedent that a judge would strike this down. Well, folks, it's a dangerous precedent to have somebody who does not have the authority to have such controlling authority upon the populace. Newsmax.com reporting that the Justice Department filing this appeal to overturn the judge's order that filed in federal court in Tampa. Also, an interesting story here from LifeSiteNews.com. A Virginia doctor was awarded a commendation by the state legislature for his advances in alternative COVID treatments, only to be notified a few days later by the state's medical licensing board that he was under investigation for the same treatments. March 11, 2022, the Virginia House of Delegates honored Dr. Paul Merrick, founder of Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance, for his courageous treatment of critically ill COVID-19 patients. The resolution passed with unanimous approval. Then on March 15th, just 4 days later, the Virginia Department of Health professionals sent him a letter notifying him that they were conducting an investigation into his medical practices for his COVID-19 treatments. According to Epic News, the investigation claims to be based on complaints from Sentara Healthcare in Norfolk, where he directed the intensive care unit till he was suspended November 18th for prescribing ivermectin and other alternative treatments for COVID-19 instead of remdesivir. The Department of Health also claimed to base the investigation on alleged accusations from a COVID patient who said they were harmed. Merrick developed two protocol treatments for COVID-19. In a resolution, the legislature had commended him for using repurposed, approved FDA generic drugs as a strategy to reduce the pandemic death rate. More in a moment. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, when we look at humanity, where do all the different skin colors come from?
Chris, of course, all our traits are controlled by our genes, and they've always been quite mysterious. Now, as the human genome has been decoded, the mystery of the origin of skin color has not been solved. We can't figure out what controls the genes. Evidently, there's something behind the genes that turns them on and off and controls how long they operate. Here at the Institute for Creation Research, we're researching this, and I predict that many of these plaguing problems will soon be solved. One thing for certain, it won't be solved by claiming the genes randomly mutated. They were created by an intelligent designer. The designer that's mentioned, back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
It's a News Roundup Day on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Thank you for tuning in and making Crosstalk part of your daily listening. Wow, a lot of issues going on. Listen to this from townhall.com. State lawmakers in Rhode Island are pushing legislation that would require every person in the state 16 years of age and older to be vaccinated against COVID-19 and punish those who refuse to do so. NBC 10 noted that those who violate the proposed mandate would face a civil penalty of $50 and, listen to this, shall owe twice the amount of personal income taxes. Employers also would be responsible to enforce the mandate and require vaccine proof from employees or face a $5,000 fine for each worker who's unvaccinated. Rhode Island folks pushing a bill that would double the tax burden, personal income taxes, on those who said, no, I'm not going to take this experimental shot. Further, the employers would be fined $5,000 for each worker who would not take the shot. LifeScienceNews.com telling us that the Board of Health in liberal Washington State has rejected a COVID vaccine mandate for K-12 students. The Washington State Board of Health voted to adopt the advisory group's recommendations to not recommend adding COVID-19 to their list of required immunizations for child care and school entry. A summary of the opponents said members stated concerns about a lack of good data and not being comfortable with children possibly losing time away from school. This does mirror the guidance given by the Florida top medical director there as well. From CNSNews.com, airline passengers rebelling against the Biden administration's mask mandate for public transportation caused the number of unruly passenger incidents to skyrocket in 2021, the FAA data shows. Last year, airlines reported 5,981 unruly passenger incidents to the FAA. That's a 3,168% increase from a mere 183 incidents reported in 2020. Three-fourths of the incidents were mask-related. A Washington Examiner is saying that a smattering of transportation systems across the U.S. is maintaining masking requirements. They list this, and this was as of April 19th. The following airports: John F. Kennedy International Airport, New York; LaGuardia; O'Hare; Buffalo; Niagara. Chicago Transit Authority, Metro, and the Chicago Department of Aviation said they will continue to require masks. The King County Metro in Seattle, New York City's Metropolitan Transit Authority, and Portland TriMet Transit Agency as well for Portland, Oregon. Epic Times reporting that several major U.S. airlines announced plans this week to restore flight privileges to thousands of customers previously barred from flying commercial for breaking mask rules earlier in the COVID-19 pandemic. Some of those that are making reconsiderations now on case-by-case basis are like Delta Airlines and United Airlines, and even Alaska Airlines said customers barred from flying over mask violations will be given a second opportunity now that mandate has been lifted. Let's get to another issue, another troubling issue. This from Christianity Today, a new update from one of Big Tech's most influential companies has catered to the woke leftist agenda with pregnant men emojis and gender-neutral persons. Apple quietly rolled out a new iPhone update in mid-March, which included a pregnant, and I'm putting that in quotes as the article does, a pregnant man, and a number of gender-neutral emojis to cater to the leftist LGBT agenda. A new report revealed that Apple added more than 35 new emojis with gender-neutral characteristics. Oh, Gateway Pundit, another issue here, folks. London-based Walletmore is rolling out a microchip that can be implanted in the hand and will work with a digital wallet for contactless payments. Doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that sound like we're getting awful close to Revelation chapter 13? See, there's a great desensitizing that's going on right now to this, folks, so that one day when the one known as Antichrist, who is going to mandate this to buy or to sell, People will think nothing of it. Well, I've had a microchip for a long time. Yeah, I've been paying for my goods. Well, the tech company said the microchip will work with the Pure Wrist app and the implant procedure. Hey, it only takes 4 minutes. Available to the public for $299. Working with your digital wallet for contactless payments. LifeSciNews.com also is reporting that implantable microchips are marketed as the ultimate in convenience, but the goal is to create the Internet of Bodies, the IOB, described by the World Economic Forum as an ecosystem of an unprecedented number of sensors, including emotional sensors attached to, implanted within, or ingested into human bodies to monitor, analyze, and even modify human bodies and behavior. You know, we just spoke with Alex Newman here recently on transhumanism. Folks, these are stories that are bearing it out. Sweden, one of the earliest adapters of implantable microchips, the chip is implanted just beneath the skin on the hand, operates using either near-field communications, the same technology used in smartphones, or RFID, which is used in contactless credit cards. Countries around the world are now working on a system for a central bank digital currency. In the end, anything will be connected to a single implantable device that will hold your digital identity, health data, and programmable CBDCs. Your digital identity, in turn, will include everything that can be known about you through surveillance via implanted biosensors, your computer, smartphone, GPS, social media, online searches, purchases, and spending habits. Algorithms will then decide what you can and cannot do based on who you are. So that's impossible. That sounds like the social credit app system of China. Well, that's exactly what's going on in China, and it's not isolated to China alone. Here's a story that just came out this week from, LifeSciNews.com. A new app recently released in Italy presents striking similarities with China's social credit system by rewarding some citizens for their behavior through a point system. It's called Smart Citizen Wallet. It was presented at a March 29th press conference on digital innovation. Citizens using the app will be rewarded for such things as recycling and using public transports, managing energy well, not getting fined. So-called virtuous behaviors will allow citizens to improve their score and win points that they'll be able to spend on various awards like discounts and free cultural activities. Sign me up! Sign me up! Can't you hear the roar of the people? Sign me up! Yes, I want to get that. Oh, it's voluntary. Sign me up. Friends, at a time, it's going to become mandatory. You will not be able to move without having such an identification. The Daily Caller reporting that President Joe Biden released his annual economic report last week where he mentioned the word, now this is an economic report, but he mentioned the word gender significantly more than inflation as the country faces the highest prices in over 40 years. He used the word gender in his economic plan 127 times. He mentioned inflation 87 times. Meanwhile, the report mentioned inequality 147 times and emissions nearly 100 times. The Labor Department reported an 8.5% year-over-year increase in the Consumer Price Index, a key inflation indicator for March, the highest level since December of 1981. He opened his economic report with a brief letter praising his economic recovery plan following the COVID-19 pandemic, highlighting a stronger workforce as well as the reopening of the national economy. Folks, don't you just feel it? Let's go on to the Daily Caller. Natural gas prices skyrocketed in recent weeks as President Biden's deal to send more to Europe has reportedly cut into U.S. supplies. U.S. natural gas supply has been severely drained in the wake of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which has roiled global energy markets. And President Joe Biden's liquefied natural gas export deal with the European Union, the Wall Street Journal reported. On March 25th, Biden said that the U.S. would send the bloc an additional 529.72 billion cubic feet of liquefied natural gas in 2022 to assist in its efforts to ditch Russian energy. Also, oil from Joe Biden's emergency release of the Strategic Petroleum Reserves. Guess what, folks? Heading to Europe, not to U.S. consumers. He tapped into the U.S. Strategic Oil Reserves in an attempt to bring down oil prices. Now we know that at least one ship is sailing for Rotterdam filled with U.S. oil. Zero Hedge reported that his decision to release 180 million barrels of oil from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve, a million barrels a day for 180 days, ending just before the midterm elections, was meant to help lower U.S. gas prices because of the Putin price hike, he says. Well, instead, it's heading to Europe. It appears that somehow the definition of emergency now includes making a profit at the expense of the American consumer. The Daily Caller telling us more than a dozen environmental groups lambasted the Biden administration announcement that it would restart the federal oil and gas leasing program. The Center for Biological Diversity, Sierra Club, Earth Justice, and at least 12 other leading organizations expressed their disappointment, arguing that the action suggested the administration wasn't serious about tackling climate change. The group said the oil and gas leasing program should be permanently ended. CBN News reporting an attorney for the town of Elizabethton, Tennessee, is defending the presence of the three crosses on public land after atheists demanded the removal. The move comes weeks after residents protested the Freedom From Religion Foundation's demand that the crosses be taken down from atop Lynn Mountain, saying the so-called violation of church and state, you know, the Establishment Clause, etc. Christian Headlines telling us about Hobby Lobby. Maybe you saw it. The world's largest privately owned arts and crafts retailer spread the true message of Easter in the major newspapers across the country. A large headline reading, "His love endures forever," ran across the ad with the text to John 3:16 below. And the bottom of the ad told readers how they could become a Christian and also included a link to a free downloadable Bible. Well, let's get to another issue here today from Christian Headlines. New sex education standards that are set to go into effect in New Jersey this year have sparked a nationwide controversy and have even led to a public comment from the state's Democratic governor, who supports the standards but wants clarification on what children will be taught. The standards approved in 2020 are scheduled to be implemented this fall and will expand what students across all grades will learn about several issues, including LGBTQ plus matters. For example, by the end of grade 2, children should be able to discuss the range of ways people express their gender and how gender role stereotypes may limit behavior. A state-approved lesson plan and activity for first graders teaches kids that gender identity is now how they feel. A child can look like a boy on the outside, but be a girl on the inside, according to the lesson. Wait for more confusion. Wait for more saying they are transgender. Wait for more wanting these puberty-blocking drugs and these forever life-changing surgeries that will be planned. Daily Signal telling us that Florida has become the center of national attention for weeks over its parental rights and education law. But they're not alone, because across the country, state lawmakers are introducing similar legislation. Heritage Foundation says that other states are responding to parent dissatisfaction by increasing classroom transparency and asserting parents' rights as decision makers for their children. In Alabama, it's House Bill 322 that the governor signed into law there on April 8th. Ohio, as with Florida's law, legislators in Ohio proposed a bill on April 4th. Kansas has the state Senate approved SB 496 that aims to create a parental bill of rights. Iowa, Senate file 2024. Indiana also, there's an updated parental rights bill of rights, although it's only a legal opinion from the attorney general, calling it a roadmap for parents to direct their children's education and medical decisions. A parental bill of rights was introduced and passed in the state of Wisconsin legislature, only to be vetoed by Governor Tony Evers in opposition to parental rights. Well, we are up against a break here on Crosstalk. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more stories. By the way, we interviewed Robert Morgan the other day here on Crosstalk on his book, 50 Final Events in World History. Just a reminder that the VCY bookstore has this reduced 45% through April 30th. If you got a busy before, you can reach out to him at 1-888-722-4829. 1-888-722-4829, or it's available at vcy.com. That's good through April 30th here from the VCY bookstore. Back in a minute.
Did you know astronomers Copernicus, Galileo, Kepler, and others made profound statements of faith? Did you know Samuel F.B. Morse, inventor of the telegraph and Morse code, said, "The only gleam of hope, and I cannot underrate it, is from confidence in God." These and many more such quotes and stories can be found in the book, Miraculous Milestones. In this book, Bill Federer examines the faith of those who achieved significant milestones in science, medicine, and innovation. You'll learn how the church pioneered hospitals and medical care for the poor because of the belief in the sanctity of human life. You'll read about Dr. Benjamin Rush, Dr. Oliver Wendell Holmes, Louis Pasteur, and others. Miraculous Milestones is available for a donation of $19 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup Friday here today with many stories. We're just talking about what's going on here in so many of the different states and so forth. States affirming parental rights. Did you know a Democratic congresswoman just celebrated Drag Queen Story Hour? I commended them for providing well-rounded LGBT education. Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney of New York singled out the Drag Queen Story Hour for praise in a tweet last week as she denounced the banning of books across the country, all for this sexual indoctrination of the innocent minds of young children going through the classrooms. LifeSiteNews.com tells us Missouri House tentatively okays a bill to ban critical race theory, solidifying parental rights in schools. HB 1858 gives parents the rights to review curricula, books, and instructional materials, to visit schools during school hours with restrictions, and to have sufficient accountability and transparency regarding school boards. Missouri, HB 1858. Also, let's see, we have from the Daily Signal, the Florida Department of Health released new guidelines Wednesday about treating gender dysphoria in children. Unlike the recent guidelines from the Biden administration, Florida's guidance does not promote aggressive medical interventions for minors who are struggling with gender dysphoria. Instead, their guidance states that social gender transition should not be a treatment option for children or adolescents. Anyone under 18 should not be prescribed puberty blockers or hormone therapy, and gender reassignment surgery should not be a treatment option for children or adolescents. In other words, let's not settle minors with life-altering changes now dubbed gender-affirming treatment by the politically correct when they are far too young to understand the decisions they are making. Oh, the testimonies, the heartbreaking testimonies of people who have gone through these hormone-blocking drugs or went through the surgeries to mar their bodies are now living with regret. Let's also pick up a story here from Not the Bee. Undercover investigation shows teachers in Tennessee and Iowa are evading CRT bans, critical race theory, by changing the language. Haven't you been warned about this? A few weeks ago, there was a story in Accuracy in Media which exposed school administrators in Idaho admitting in undercover videos to lying to parents and citizens and continuing to teach CRT in schools despite it being illegal. Since then, the organization has exposed schools in two other states, Tennessee and Iowa, that are doing the exact same thing. The CRT bans, while good policy, are providing not to be effective policy because the CRT and wokeness disciples are simply finding ways to evade the law. That's the principal of Jasper Elementary School in Marion County, Tennessee, clearly states that state laws that reflect the will of parents in Tennessee have no effect on what they choose to teach students. She doesn't let anybody tell them what to do. Anthony Ferguson in West Des Moines, Iowa, the executive director for Equity, Inclusion, and Diversity, brags that he is still instructing in CRT, saying, "What I'm proud of when it comes to curriculum that we've been able to do is we've implemented what we call an equity tool, a diversity, equity, and inclusion tool that allows us to every sort of literature we bring to the school, now even math. I think we can do a lot of this without the label and just do the work. I don't have to call it critical race theory to know what we're doing, to know the kind of work that we're doing." So, friends, what they're doing is just changing the name, keeping the teaching the same racist, Marxist curricula is continuing. LifeSiteNews.com. The debate over parental involvement in education continues, but a new UN report suggests that more regulation needs to be placed on those opting to homeschool their children. Do you homeschool? Listen to this. In the United Nations' latest Global Education Monitoring Report for 2021-2022 titled Non-State Actors in Education, Who Chooses, Who Loses, The global organization suggests that a stricter regulatory system needs to be implemented to ensure that there is uniformity in what children are taught, regardless of where or by whom they're educated. According to the UN report, the presence of non-state actors in education, which refers primarily to educators in the private schooling sector, but also mentions parents involved in homeschooling, promotes inequity and privilege, and therefore the solution is for government to consolidate all education into a single system. The UN calling for more regulation to be placed on homeschoolers. Epoch Times reporting a bill co-sponsored by the 18 House Republicans would remove the NEA, 116-year-old federal charter, because of the union's hyper-partisanship and support for extreme ideological policies like critical race theory. They report in this article from September 6 of 2019 to August 2021 that the NEA spent $116.7 million on political activities and lobbying, and in the 2020 cycle, 95.7% of candidate campaign contributions by the NEA went to Democrat candidates. Daily Torch is reporting West Virginia, ground zero for the battle to broad education savings accounts in America. One of the broadest ESAs in the nation is set to go into effect August 15th in West Virginia. The program stipulates $4,600 to West Virginia students that leave the public school system for either private school or homeschooling. Any unused funds in the account can be rolled over to the next school year or used for post-secondary expenses. There are more issues and details with that. Time does not permit us to go into them at this time. From flagandcross.com, a new study authorized by the CDC revealed that American students face the blight of a mental health epidemic, with those identifying as LGBT subject to dramatically worse mental health outcomes than their peers. According to the study, 75.7% of youth who identify as gay, lesbian, or bisexual report feeling persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness in the survey, a much larger percentage than that of any other demographic group in the study. It also indicates that 63.8% of students who identified the same way reported feeling poor mental health during the pandemic, and 46.8% reported they'd seriously consider attempting suicide. American students broadly suffer from poor mental health, with 37.1% reporting as such during the COVID pandemic. The survey had 7,705 American high school students in the first 6 months of 2021 that were surveyed for this evaluation. Daily Caller telling us a Shawnee State University professor who refused to use the preferred pronouns of a biological male student won $400,000 from the university. This is philosophy professor Nicholas Merriweather. State of Kansas, the Kansas governor there vetoed a bill to protect women's sports and strengthen parental rights in education. That was Governor Laura Kelly, who had legislation that would have kept gender-confused males out of sporting events designed specifically for females. Well, Governor cast her veto pen across that. LifeSiteNews.com tells us that Yelp is going to cover travel expenses for employees seeking out-of-state abortions. Crowdsourced business review platform Yelp has become the latest major company to offer financial support for female employees living in pro-life states to travel to abort, that is, to kill their unborn children. LifeNews.com telling us that unborn babies are aborted at astronomic rates after prenatal screening tests come back positive for genetic disorders like Down syndrome. But new research indicates these tests are highly inaccurate, and many aborted babies actually may have been healthy. On Tuesday, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration warned parents not to put their faith in non-invasive prenatal screening tests because they often produce, quote, false results. The screenings look for signs of genetic abnormalities in an unborn baby by testing a sample of the mother's blood. The new FDA announcement came months after a New York Times report exposed an average false positive rate of 85% among the five different tests that it examined. Well, friends, I've got a lot more stories, but we want to give you opportunity to also call in and weigh in on these issues today on the program, whether it be that of Disney, whether it be that of CRT or many other issues. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Matt Staver at Liberty Counsel said more than four times as many service members and veterans have died from suicide since the 9/11 attacks than have been killed in combat, and the numbers are rising to outpace those of the general population. A Brown University study released June 21, 2021, found an estimated 30,177 active duty personnel and veterans who have been served in the military since 9/11 have died by suicide, compared with just over 7,000 killed in combat in those same 20 years. A deeply troubling story coming out of Manitoba, Canada. CBN News had the story. A Canadian church building was the site of a recent assisted suicide and a ceremony that was held for one of its elderly members. Last month, a crossing-over ceremony was held at the Churchill Park United Church of Winnipeg for Betty Sanguin, 86 years old, who'd been diagnosed with ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease, the Winnipeg Free Press reported. Sanguin had decided to end her life with medical assistance, the outlet reported, and one of her final requests was for it to take place at the church where she had raised her family. It was the first instance in Manitoba where a case of assisted suicide took place in a church building, according to the Free Press. The entire procedure took 15 minutes, and Sanguin passed away with her loved ones standing beside her. The minister of Churchill Park, Reverend Don Rolke, told CP that it seemed appropriate to hold a ceremony in the sanctuary, as the churches are often host and home to all the raggedness of our lives and to some of our significant life rituals, baptism, marriage, ordination, funeral, or memorial service. For us, it was perfectly natural to hold the service for Betty in our sanctuary because death is a natural part of life, and Betty had lived a good part of her adulthood in this faith community. Folks, in this church sanctuary, committing suicide and being praised by her clergy member. Let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Again, our number is 800-733-9829. We're going to begin with Brad in West Dallas. Hi, Brad. You're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. There's just so much to choose from. Yeah. I just picked a couple. When that one guy lamented, will the CDC even have any power anymore? First thing that came to my mind was, what do you mean anymore? They never had any power. Mm-hmm. They can't order people around. They operate in an advisory capacity. And they can't even get it right anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other thing is these people that are intent on sexualizing of little kids, like Disney and others pushing this fake gender changing and sodomy and such things, are contributing to the delinquency of minors and unnecessary surgeries and dangerous drugs. These people are dangerous. They need to be arrested and convicted and maybe even executed. That's my opinion.
You know, the harm to children is amazing. And, Brad, at the same time while you're talking here, I just came across another story. This a museum co-founded by a Microsoft executive is helping children ages 12 to 18 learn how to create their drag personas. It's going to cost them $400 a child. But Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen's Museum of Pop Culture is holding this week-long Dragtastic Summer Camp August 8th through the 12th. And again, children are becoming the victim of this.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Make them fail, Jesus.
Thanks for the call, Brad.
Thank you.
Let's go to Cookeville, Tennessee. Shelley, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to bring up the WHO has got a meeting, I think, in May. And there's, from what I've read, there's several companies on board. They are wanting the WHO to control all pandemics. So any mandates, anything that RCD says, it's not going to matter. It's all going to come from the WHO. And they're very adamant on passing that.
Yeah, it's all about control. It is all about control, Shelley.
Thank you for raising that issue.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Okay, we're up against a break here on Crosstalk, so we're going to take the break. We'll come back to your calls here in the final segment, so stay with us. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. This week, millions of Americans will pay taxes. But think about this. Is it really taxes, or at this point, is it outright theft by the federal government? Why do I say that? Because the government, through a progressive income tax, is punishing those who work hard, who save, who invest, who take risks, while the government turns around and seeks to unfreeze billions of dollars to the Iranian government that has vowed to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, a religious system that declares the Jews and the Christians, the people of the book, the enemy. We see that now our government is allowing and encouraging and flying in illegals from all over the world into the U.S. And now they're going to lift Title 42 for perhaps as many as 18 to 20,000 a day or more to come in, all tax-free, getting free benefits while they steal from us to give to them. That's socialism.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Friends, are you praying for our nation, our leaders, those who are making these laws? Are we engaged? Are you keeping track of who's doing what? And as you go to the polls here in primaries and into the elections here this fall, that you're voting with knowledge? This troubling coming out here, too, I've just got to share with you from LifeSiteNews.com. The Biden administration appears ready to strip conscience rights from medical professionals and potentially require them to commit abortions, provide transgender procedures, and to euthanize people. Yeah, the White House Regulatory Affairs Office has published a placeholder for a rescission of the regulation of the Protecting Statutory Conscience Rights in Healthcare. Well, it provides conscience protections for professionals who do not want to engage in abortion or sterilization or assisted suicide or euthanasia or what they call mercy killing. Here the Biden administration is ready to strip all those conscience rights from medical professionals. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have Alice calling from Arkansas. Hi, Alice. You're on the air.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Well, the scripture that comes to me is, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations shall forget God. And people are just forgetting the love and the joy and the peace that God can give to them. I mean, children need to be trained in the way they should go and know that God made them special to be girls and special to be boys.
Yeah.
And that every life is precious, precious no matter if it's Down syndrome, precious right up to the very end of life. Do you know that 60 years ago, last July, my mother had surgery, and she was given 3 days to live. Well, God moved on. Over 14 years today, they wouldn't even give her water, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, that people could know, really, the love, peace of God. And they talk about that awful, awful Russian missile that could come.
Yeah.
We all need to be ready at any moment to meet our wonderful God.
God bless you, Alice. Thank you for the call here today. We have Wesley in Toma, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the CRT thing. I don't know, and I would like everyone to fact check me on this, but as far as I understand, that the basis of it is just Marxism.
Yeah.
Like when political correctness was created in the United States, it was when the idea was social Marxism. So I just wanted to comment in case anyone didn't know that it's just a bunch of communist ideology.
Yep, that's what it is, Wesley. Thank you very much. Jim is next in Brookfield. You're on the air.
I just had a question for you. Have you heard from Lorraine Day at all? Anything from her? You used to have her on all the time?
No, she was not on all the time. She had been on a couple times, but no, we've not heard from her. So I have no idea what's going on there, Jim. Thank you. Randy in Toma, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello, Jim. I just wanted to say, make a couple comments that the judge hit it right on the head. The CDC, under Article 1, Section 8, lists the delegated powers of the federal government, and in the general welfare clauses and the common defense clauses, and 2 through 9 and clause 17 of the general welfare clauses, and there's nothing in there about the federal government being in health care.
Yeah.
So he hit it right on the head.
Yeah.
All these federal health care agencies are all illegal. And, you know, a number of them are very, very corrupt, too.
And that's, you could add to that, Randy, U.S. Department of Education as well.
That's exactly right, Jim. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, at least 80% of our federal government is unlawful and unconstitutional.
Thank you. Thank you for the call. James, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead, James.
Yes. I wanted to bring up something else about health care, and that is that we are undergoing a genocide in this country by our own government with the help of the Chinese. When you think of the fentanyl deaths and the viral deaths and the vaccine deaths and everything, we do very poorly. And that was because of Fauci and our own CDC and some of these other worthless agencies. We lost 2,100 people per 100,000 cases of COVID, 2,100. India lost 327 per 100,000 cases because they used ivermectin, which our own government denied us. And that's one of many. We are probably the worst one, according to Robert Kennedy Jr.'s in his book about the real Anthony Fauci. He outlined over 20 countries and showed that they were all much more successful in the treatment of this disease than we with our advanced, supposedly advanced medical culture could accomplish. So there's the nail in the coffin of the old medical establishment in America right now.
Thank you. James, to Maryland, Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, I thought it was quite interesting that Fauci said last week he praised China for the total lockdown of Shanghai. And he said, what a great way to force people to get the shot. I'd say look for lockdowns before November.
Thank you for the call here, Merle. And Tony, our final call from Neillsville. You're on the air.
I just wanted to say that had President Trump been reelected, none of this would be able to come unfolding the way it is now. And another comment that nobody else has ever made, President Kennedy didn't deserve what happened to him, but Biden, Pelosi, and Harris, they deserve it.
Well, I'm not going to go there with you, Tony, because these are souls for whom Christ died, and I would trust that your greater prayer would be for them to come to faith in Jesus Christ, the Savior. And what a life change, what a miracle that would be. And let's pray to that end, okay? Thank you, Tony. And let's we're just not going to go the direction you are going with that. Let me just close here by saying that I understand there's a call to prayer from Family Policy Alliance for the Coach Kennedy, who was fired for praying on the football field. And he is going to be having his case go to the U.S. Supreme Court by First Liberty. And we understand that places across the country this coming Lord's Day that they're going to be having prayer time at the 50-yard line of stadiums across the nation. And maybe you would take time to pray for Coach Kennedy this weekend and for First Liberty Institute. Our time is gone here on Crosstalk. The Lord's Day is coming. I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.